Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and the Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heat, and Cooling and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. TD, Teron Davenport joins us now. TD, appreciate you for joining us. First and foremost, I want to get out of the way what you reported on Twitter last night about Jeffrey Simmons scrubbing his Instagram of Titans photos, unfollowing the Titans on Instagram, deleting his Twitter. What do you think these moves or, messages that he's sending out via social media mean in terms of his negotiations with the Titans?
Well, I think one thing that we have to remember is throughout the whole process, Simmons, he didn't want to discuss the contract. He wanted to separate himself from that. So I think this is just an instance of him scrubbing everything because his IG is not in existence anymore either. And I think it's just him unplugging, disassociating himself from any of the contract talk. I am not sure. I'm pretty sure that there are some negotiations that are going. I'm not positive. I haven't been able to confirm that with multiple sources. But I firmly believe that it's just a sign of him just trying to detach from it all.
Fair point. And I do think that there are a lot of Titans fans kind of saying the same thing. You know, it doesn't mean much. It's just social media. But I do think that there's a good bit of scars that Titans fans have about the A.J. Brown social media saga this past season. And while Jeffrey Simmons hasn't been conducting business or airing dirty laundry maybe as much as we saw A.J. Brown did this past season, the same kind of sentiment remains. You know, you remove Titans from your bio, you unfollow the Titans on Instagram. It kind of feels like this is the way that young players communicate now.
Yeah, it's the way that they send messages. But again, I think this is really him just trying to separate himself from it all, because not only did he unfollow the Titans, his social media doesn't exist anymore. So That to me, it signifies something a little different.
TD Teron Davenport is with us. Another report coming out from the Combine from Michael Silver of Bally Sports. The Titans are shopping Derrick Henry. Now, that could be, a million different things. It could be they're ready to trade him tomorrow, or, hey, we're just kind of trying to test the market. Have you heard anything about how far along the Titans could be with, quote-unquote, shopping Derrick Henry?
No, that's an interesting one. I saw that report. I hadn't heard anything. So I don't know how valid or to what extent this shopping was. Obviously, any player on the roster is touchable. So I wouldn't be surprised if a team, maybe Buffalo or someone like that, needs a running back, needs to balance out the offense. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a conversation, and then you could interpret that as, hey, that's shopping Derrick Henry. But I believe Derrick Henry is going to be here at least through this year.
And with Derrick Henry, and I'm with you, I would be shocked if the Titans did decide to move off of Derrick Henry. But I'll ask the same question about Henry that I do with Ryan Tannehill. Whenever people talk about moving on from Ryan Tannehill, I always ask, okay, well then, who's the quarterback? If the Titans do decide to move forward without Derrick Henry, then my question is, okay, well then, what does your offense look like? I mean, so much of this offense, no pun intended, runs through Derrick Henry.
Yeah, exactly. It's so much revolves around him, and you even look at how he affects the passing game. So there's a lot that could be said for his role with the team. I do think Hassan Haskins is a solid back. There are some pretty solid backs in this draft. I mean, if you could get, Bashan Robinson, you're really doing well, but you'll have to use a first-round pick on him. So, trading Derrick Henry, it would all depend on what it would yield and how you could go ahead and use that pick to possibly move up. We saw C.J. Stroud's excellent workout. We saw Anthony Richardson's workout as well. So it's just one of those things where you just have to look at what it's going to get you. I don't think Derrick Henry gets you a first-round pick, though.
I'm with you. I'd be shocked if the Titans got a first-round pick in return for Derrick Henry, and that's no knock on him. It's just the reality of the running back market in the NFL these days.
Correct.
TD is Correct. With us, Jerron Davenport. You were in Indianapolis for the NFL Combine. You mentioned it, Anthony Richardson's workout. I think everyone's jaws were on the floor. Heard a lot about Bryce Young's size, and you also reported last week that the Titans are interested in C.J. Stroud. What are you hearing on the quarterback front from the NFL Combine?
Yeah, I tell you what, Stetson Bennett really impressed a lot of people.
Really?
That's one of the things, yes. And they liked the way he was able to throw the ball down the field. They were surprised by that, the way he was able to drive the ball on those mid-range passes as well. It's something that he wasn't asked to do a lot at Georgia, so he didn't get a chance to showcase that. But he was another guy that quietly was impressive to a lot of people. And I think, you know, he's somebody that obviously won't be an early pick, but day three you could get a guy. And, you know, the Brock Purdy, his performance, that opened things up for guys like Stetson Bennett.
Do you think that there is, like, what would you put the probability maybe of the Titans going out and getting a quarterback in this year's draft, whether that's moving up to the first overall pick to get a quarterback, whether that's a Hendon Hooker in the second or third round? What do you think the Titans would do at quarterback if they do decide to draft a quarterback in this year's draft?
I mean, if they draft one, I think C.J. Stroud would be the guy, but you're probably going to have to move up to three or probably at least three at a minimum to get him, and that depends on what the Bears do with the first-round pick, the first overall pick. So I could see them a bit later. You know, if Anthony Richardson is on the board at 11, it's awfully hard to pass up. So that's a possibility too. But I think there's going to be three quarterbacks going in that top 10, and then you have Will Levis sitting there, and I don't think that they take him. So in my opinion, I think they're going to roll with Tannehill, and they're going to have Dobbs and Willis there. I don't know that they draft a quarterback, at least in this year.
And I'm with you. I do think that it's more likely than not that they'll run it back with Ryan Tannehill. But Anthony Richardson is interesting because his draft stock has just absolutely skyrocketed. That we were having these conversations about the top quarterbacks in the draft before the combine, maybe a few months ago, and Anthony Richardson's name wasn't really mentioned in those conversations. And now here we are saying, hey, if Anthony Richardson is there at 11, how do you pass him up? I just look at what he did at Florida, and it was so inconsistent. Some weeks he looked like Superman, and then some weeks he looked like he could barely even complete a pass. Can you take a flyer like that in the first round on a guy like Anthony Richardson that has so much sheer talent, but we just didn't see it on a consistent basis in college?
Yeah, I think you can. That talent is hard to pass up, but I think it's one of those situations where you have to have someone that is really proven at being able to develop quarterbacks. You look at what the Chiefs did, you know, selecting Patrick Mahomes 10th overall, right? They already knew, okay, you have Andy Reid in the building. He's done extensive work with multiple. I mean, he made A.J. Feely, for heaven's sake, look like a good quarterback, you know. So I think it has to be the right situation. I pray that it is the right situation because I want Anthony Richardson to develop, because him getting his full potential, that's going to be a privilege for all of us to watch. So I do think it's tough for him to fall out of the top 10. But, again, the situation has to be right.
TD is with us, Jerron Davenport. I've heard great things about Charles London. I don't know a lot about his background, but now with Charles Robinson in the building as quarterback's coach, do you think that the Titans have the coaching staff in place to be able to develop a quarterback and bring in a guy like Anthony Richardson, who, if they draft him in the first round, I'm saying if, they could develop him to be the quarterback of the future?
Yeah, I think that remains to be seen. I think the main key with Richardson is, don't take and make everything difficult. Just let him play football. You know, you want to make plays outside of the pocket, make plays outside of the pocket. You want to throw the ball down the field, throw the ball down the field. Keep it simple for him. I think that's the key part of it all. And then as things go along, you can gradually ramp it up. So I think, you know, it still remains to be proven. I wouldn't say for sure that they could come and take him and develop him into the player that he's capable of being.
TD is with us. Any offensive lineman that emerged as being maybe a Titans favorite? Because if I had to put money on it, the position group that I think the Titans are going to pick in the first round, I do think it's offensive line. What did you see from the linemen in the combine this weekend?
Yeah, Paris Johnson Jr. is so smooth, man. He's a very good athlete. Actually, talking to him, he played soccer and wrestling, even gymnastics. So you could definitely tell basketball also. You could tell just how he plays, how he moves really well. I think that's probably the pick. But, you know, Broderick Jones, he moved really well also. I like the way he keeps that wide base. And he has a very good build to him. Same with Paris Johnson Jr. They both have really good stout builds. You know, they're not fat guys playing offensive line, you know, and I think that's important. I stood next to DeJuan Jones, and I tell you what, that's one bottom to the top. It's a long journey going from his sneakers to the top of his head. That is a big man, and he moves well for a big man. But I think, you know, it's going to be Broderick Jones, Paris Johnson. Those guys are the likely ones, and Peter Skoronski is in the mix too, but I think it's going to be Johnson.
What about receivers? Which receivers stood out to you?
Yeah, you know, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, he told me that he was 100% as of 2 weeks ago, so he wasn't going to run the 40. But I tell you what, his three-cone short shuttle, those were elite. His just the way he caught the football, went through the drills was really good. You know, I like Zay Flowers. He's someone that did a really good job in that gauntlet drill. He ran that 4.42. I liked him. I liked talking to Jalin Hyatt, you know, just talking about facing press and beating press and being more than just a deep threat. He said that's something he wants to make sure that is established. So those were some guys. I had an important meeting, so I didn't get to sit in on all the receivers. So I missed, you know, A.T. Perry from Wake Forest, who I really like. I missed Johnson Mingo, who, by the way, ran a 4.49 and hit you 23 reps on the bench. Don't forget about Jeray Jenkins. He's very similar to a Jarvis Landry type where he won't blow you out of the water testing-wise, but he catches the ball consistently, runs routes really well, and is very tough. He hit 20 on the bench. He ran a 4.6. So those were a few guys for me.
I know him, and I love him well. Last one for you, TD. This came out from Ian Rappaport. A Florida tackle came into the combine healthy, and Ian Rappaport said he underwent a pain tolerance test that created an injury. What in the world is a pain tolerance test?
Yeah, I am trying to figure that out as well. And it's really unfortunate that it created an injury for him.
Absolutely.
I have no clue what that was. But speaking of injuries, terrible news out of the combine. Andrew Voorhees, the USC guard/tackle, torn ACL. You hate to see that. And that's really unfortunate.
Very unfortunate. Poor thing. You hate to see that. Well, TD, we appreciate you. We look forward to hearing more of your reports from the combine.
Yeah, for sure. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Chat with you tomorrow, TD. Appreciate you. All right, TD, Teron Davenport, he is the best. He will be in with me tomorrow for the full 3 hours, so make sure that you stick around for TD tomorrow. We'll get into your phones coming up next. I see all of your thoughts on Derrick Henry, on Jeffrey Simmons. Right to your phones coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 1025, 106 through the game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 125, 106.3 the game. Caroline Fenton, Chase McCabe in for Willie and D-Mace. Chase, unless you have a thought.
Let's get to the phones.
To the phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robert in Spring Hill texts in and says, the only quarterback worth sacrificing everything for is Bryce Young. I don't think C.J. Stroud is going to be an elite quarterback. Anthony Richardson is a three-year project. He can't read the fences. Defenses, I'm guessing he means. And Will Levis, who knows if he's going to be helping out to play quarterback or the next many years. I say either stick with what you got and run it back with Tannehill and Henry or go get Bryce Young. First of all, I agree with the fact that if your guy's not there, you just run it back with Tannehill and Henry. That's why the Titans are in a perfect position, is that they have a guy in place. It's also an unfortunate position since there's no clear path to the next guy. But for 2023, if the Titans don't find their guy, they're good. But to say the only quarterback worth sacrificing for is Bryce Young, I don't think is fair. Because you could have said the same thing about Mitch Trubisky in the 2017 draft. Where's Mitch Trubisky now? You know who was taken 9 picks below Mitch Trubisky? Patrick Mahomes. So nobody probably thought that Patrick Mahomes was worth trading up for, but Andy Reid did, and now they have 2 Super Bowls, and Patrick Mahomes has 2 MVPs. So it's really easy, I think, to get caught up in the talk of some of the quarterbacks and to say, oh, well, you know, Will Levis, who knows what he's going to do? I don't know what Will Levis is going to do. I personally don't think that he's worth the top pick, but I don't know. It's up to the Titans. And I think that Bryce Young has his fair share of concerns as well. You know, a quarterback that's sub 200 pounds, is he going to be able to withstand, you know, every single year getting a beating like that? I don't know. Is he going to get injured? We've seen how detrimental injuries can be to a football team the past couple of years.
This one especially.
Exactly. So to say, I don't think it's fair to say that Bryce Young is the only quarterback worth sacrificing everything for. He might be the best quarterback in this class. I believe that. I love Bryce Young. But that also doesn't mean that he's worth sacrificing everything for.
Yeah.
The best quarterback in this draft doesn't mean that he's the best quarterback ever.
So Joe Burrow, and I'm using your bias here, but you knew Joe Burrow after that magical season and they won the Natty. You knew he was a sure thing.
Absolutely.
There was no doubt. You knew he was a sure thing.
And it's hard to have bias with Joe Burrow, honestly, because he's just that good.
Andrew Luck, you knew he was a sure thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Peyton Manning, sure thing. There are guys now, a lot of people thought Ryan Leaf might be that, and he wasn't. You know, you obviously can be wrong. There's nobody in this draft, Caroline, that stands out to me and goes, I'm a sure thing at the next level. Mm-hmm. You're probably going to hit, you know, I think Bryce Young could have a nice career for sure. Maybe, you know, any of the others, Will Levis, who knows? But it's hard to, C.J. Stroud, it's hard to really guess who's going to actually make it as a true pro until you actually see it. And it all depends on coaching and the offense and the personnel around them, you know, things like that. Even though you're probably going to have four quarterbacks go in the top 10. I mean, I believe somebody's fallen in love with Anthony Richardson and he's probably going to go top 10. I don't think that's a wise move, but that's probably what's going
to
happen.
And maybe Anthony Richardson turns in to be, you know, the next Patrick Mahomes. I don't know. I just haven't seen that. And also, you know, we just talked to TD. I asked him, can the Titans afford to take in a project like an Anthony Richardson with a first round pick? Do they have the coaching staff in place to be able to properly develop a quarterback? And TD says, I think the same thing that we're all thinking is that's remained to be seen. You drafted a quarterback in the third round last year, and I haven't seen a whole lot of development from Malik Willis. The Titans probably don't view Malik Willis as the future of this franchise. At least I sure hope they don't. So is that a Malik Willis thing? Is that a coaching staff thing? I don't know the answer to that, but we haven't seen a quarterback be developed under this current coaching staff.
Yeah, and you know what? I was thinking about this weekend, and I'll get your thoughts on this. I would love to ask Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel about this, but I watched some of the XFL, and I'm sitting there going, what if Malik Willis was playing in this right now, but the Titans still had his rights? Like, he would benefit so much if he could go play 10 games in the XFL as a starting quarterback and then come into training camp with that season under his belt. And you put him on a team where, you know, I know the XFL rules are different in the, but you find an offense that's similar. He's getting game reps. It's that competition that he's not getting in practice. What would that do for him? Like, I would love to see that right now. And I hope that that's where we get with these spring leagues, because it would work. I mean, his season's done by April. He can rest up, get ready to go, you know, do workouts here, and then be there for training camp. If I'm a coach or a GM in the NFL, I am quietly pushing for that behind the scenes, because I think that would be huge.
You would at least get a clearer vision of an answer of,
sure,
he can do it at the next level or he just can't, which is not a privilege that the Titans have at least
it up,
right now.
If he stinks it up in the XFL, then you got your answer.
But if he stinks it up in practice?
Yeah.
But,
you know? But still, there is something beneficial to getting game reps.
Absolutely.
You know?
Especially when you have a developing quarterback like that. Adam in Portland is on the line. What's up, Adam?
Hey, Caroline. So am I the only one? I mean, you guys are really – every show sounds the same. It's debating back and forth on this quarterback. I feel like if you have to talk about it this much, you probably shouldn't draft a quarterback. Like, that's my take on it, man, is that there's too much other crap. And y'all talked about it since the season ended. If you – I asked Chase like 3 months ago. I'm like, are we rebuilding? Well, you went through every position that we need starters on, and once you start feeling yourself talking for 45 seconds, like naming positions, you don't need a quarter. Like, you're gonna bring a quarterback into that? Like, it already proved, like with Malik, like we didn't have enough for him last year. So, let's go get a younger guy than Malik and bring him. It just doesn't make sense to me, man. Not yet.
Adam, what is the most important position in any sport on planet Earth?
Quarterback.
It's the quarterback. That's exactly why we're talking about it. Thank you for your call, Adam. It's exactly why we talk about it.
That's a good call. He's making a valid point.
But to the point, too, about what was on the field last year wasn't good enough for Malik Willis. I don't know if that wasn't just because of the offensive line. That wasn't just because of the lack of receivers. There was a good bit of that, of Malik Willis just being green. Of maybe Malik Willis just not being good enough to be at this level. Now, would Malik Willis have benefited from the Philadelphia Eagles offensive line and having A.J. Brown to throw the football to? Absolutely he would have. I don't think the team last year, though, was the reason why Malik Willis wasn't able to develop.
No, Derek, and I've heard Derek talk about this, I don't think this staff has done a good job developing quarterbacks. And, I mean, you're going back even before this staff got here, but – and that's one reason why I kind of feel like Charles London's been brought in and Pat O'Hara was reassigned, because Vrabel is recognizing that and that they want to get a coach that's going to develop a quarterback, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's Malik Willis or Joshua Dobbs or somebody from this draft. And I think that's important. It's important that they address that. And so,
yeah.
Because, I mean, you could tell, like, the kid just wasn't ready, and he may never be ready. He may not even be good enough to be a backup in this league. We don't know yet, but I know right now there is a long way to go.
Yeah, there's some developing that needs to happen before you can ever, you know, move forward with Malik Willis.
Speaking of developing, Calvin Ridley has been officially reinstated.
Ah, okay. So that is, D-Maze and I have talked about this on air, off air, a sneaky addition to the Jacksonville Jaguars I don't think we're talking about enough.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that team is building. That team is becoming stacked. I still, though, how do you feel about the Jacksonville Jags sweepstakes?
Like where they're at?
Yeah.
I mean, right now I would say they're the favorites to win the division. And I'm interested because I'm going to Vegas at the end of the month. And I always
– Tease and
peace. Thank you. I always like going at the end of March because that's generally when the first, you know, the odds will come out for divisions and mm-hmm. win totals, and because it's post-free agency at that point and before the draft. So I'm going to be curious of what the books have them at. But I would say they're the favorite to win the division. And then I'd probably still put the Titans second now today.
Mm-hmm.
And then Colts and Texans are off in their own little world. But I'm a believer, because I'm a believer in Doug Peterson. I mean, I look at Doug Peterson had Carson Wentz on track to win the MVP. Let's just think about that
Carson
statement
Wentz.
For a second. He was. Had he not gotten hurt, he was going to win the MVP.
When Ron Rivera won Sam Howell over Carson Wentz, to put that in perspective.
Yeah, yeah. And so, and look, I mean, I guess a team's going to sign Carson Wentz, but as a backup, you know. But, I mean, and obviously I think there's some other stuff with him that teams are just tired of dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
But if Doug Peterson can do that with Carson Wentz, think about what he's going to be able to do with, you know, with the team he has now.
Totally.
And with Trevor. So I feel like that he's going to just continue to go up to a different level. Will he ever be truly elite like we thought he might be in college? I don't know. But if he can be really damn good, then that's all you need.
And I think as the Jags continue to build up these pieces, like Calvin Ridley coming back, we might get our answer that, hey, if Trevor Lawrence can't do it with that receiving core, will he ever be able to do it? Or if he does do it, then that's your answer right there. I just view the Jags, I think that they are going to be a good team. I think Trevor Lawrence is a good quarterback. I just feel like a lot of the offseason conversation has been how the Jags have run away with the division and that Trevor Lawrence belongs in the same conversation with Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. And I just don't think that that's very fair. You know, let's keep it into perspective that it took a 7-game losing streak from the Titans and of Josh Dobbs' fumble at the end of that final game against the Jags in order for the Jags to win the division. That Trevor Lawrence threw 4 interceptions against the Chargers, and the Chargers kind of pooped that wild card round game away. I still think they're a good team. I think Doug Peterson is a good coach, and I'm glad that the Jags at least rid themselves of the Urban Meyer sweepstakes and are doing their due diligence to Trevor Lawrence. But I think that they're a good team, but I want to pump the brakes on it.
Just my gambling insider, Music City Bet, says the Jags are -145 is the favorite. Titans +280, Colts +650, and Texans +750.
+280.
Yep.
Whoa.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say okay, maybe like +140.
Yeah. Also 280. Also, something to get to, the Ian Rapoport dropping some stuff right now. It's that kind of day, but the Chiefs are not tagging a certain offensive tackle.
Let's get into it coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, Chase McCabe, in for Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
What you've seen of this team, the identity of the Titans the last few years, what jumps out? And do you feel like that your preference and what you're going to bring is going to fit that existing identity?
What jumps out is how hard and how tough this team is, how hard they play. And I think the team has been made in the image of our head coach. You know, Mike is a tough guy. He works hard. I just almost said something else, and I saw my kids sitting there. I think the team is built in his image and what Mike believes in. And like I said before, you know, our core foundation of football comes from the same tree. And I believe in those.
There you go. That was Rand Carthon at his introductory press conference. A little bit more news. I feel like I'm drinking football news from a fire hose.
I know.
It's like I can't even like take a nap or get in the shower or drive without missing something coming out of the NFL. But this is coming out from Ian Rapoport that the Chiefs are not tagging offensive tackle Orlando Brown. So I viewed this upcoming free agent class in terms of tackles and offensive linemen. Orlando Brown, I think, clearly is at the top. I mean, if you can get a guy like Orlando Brown, you take an Orlando Brown. He made $16.6 million in base salary this past year for the Titans, and I would say that's only gone up. So you're looking at probably minimum $17 million a year for a tackle of Orlando Brown's caliber, if you think that's spot on. $17 million a year.
Now?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Like minimum.
Well, I go back to something that Jared said when he was doing his Get Brady to Nashville plan. And
this time around?
Yeah, this time around. And one of the things he put out there was you pay Orlando Brown the contract you should have given to AJ Brown. And so, I mean.
So like 22?
Yeah, somewhere in there. I mean, he's going to
market.
He's going to cost a lot. I mean, I think he's going to end up making pretty good coin. And it's going to, I think he's going to need more than 17 to get him here.
Minimum 17.
And so you got to ask yourself if the Titans are acting like they don't have the cash because of the stadium to pay Jeffrey Simmons, even though I believe they're going to, are they going to spend that kind of money on an offensive tackle when you can go get one, albeit unproven, in the first round of the draft?
And that's exactly my point. I would love an Orlando Brown.
Oh,
considering the disarray this offensive line has been through, I feel like the best option for the Titans, you know, you could go out and get a tackle in this year's draft, go out and get Orlando Brown, because I don't know how sold the Titans really are on Nicholas Petitfrère being your right tackle of the future.
See, that's the other thing. You could sign Orlando Brown and still draft one of the tackles in the first round and just send PT, as Chris Sanders calls him.
Yeah, PT. You can send push him to guard.
Yeah, I mean,
your options there are endless. But that's also investing a whole lot of stock into offensive tackle when your elite all-pro defensive tackle wants a contract and you're going through negotiations with Jeffrey Simmons. And this is something that I discussed with Willie. I think there's only two options. There's only two ways where Jeffrey Simmons is not a Titan in 2023 or beyond. One is you package him in a trade package to move up to the first overall pick or to move up in the draft to go get your quarterback of the future. I don't think that that is wise. I don't think that Jeffrey Simmons should be on the table. I think you do whatever it takes to hold on to Jeffrey Simmons, whether that's re-signing him, whether that's exercising the fifth-year option, whether he likes it or not. But that is one way that I could see Jeffrey Simmons not being in a Titans uniform. The second way being the Titans just don't have the money. That the Titans don't have the money to pay Jeffrey Simmons and that he absolutely refuses to play on the fifth-year option. I don't think it would get to that point. But I still think that could be that is in the cards at some point. I don't think the negotiations are going to get that nasty. But still, if the Titans don't have the money to pay him, let's say $30 million, somewhere in that ballpark, $30 million a year, that they just can't afford it, and he refuses to play on the fifth-year option, that's the only way that I don't see Jeffrey Simmons in a Titans uniform. So how can you justify spending $20-plus million a year on a tackle and letting Jeffrey Simmons walk because you don't want to pay him the, let's say, $30 million a year that it would take?
You know what? I'm just going to be real. Like, I'm going to sit here and just let it rip now. If they don't have the money, then get out. Like, seriously, just go ahead and sell it, because that's just silly. You know, that you sit there and you go, okay, we're going to liquidate a lot of stuff and put a lot into the stadium, which you need, and you're getting help on that. And that's a part of doing business. And you've been avoiding this for a long time, but you also put yourself in this position because your dad went on the cheap when they built the first one and got it at a steal of a deal. And now 20 something years later, it's time to build a new one.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of on you. That's on your family. But if you're going to be like, all right, well, we'll get the stadium, but we can't afford to buy good players right now, then what are you even doing? Like, I don't even understand why you're even in the game.
Well, and I don't know how much truth there is to that.
And I don't either. I'm just saying, you know,
But look, just looking at the sheer numbers last year in 2022, in terms of cash spent, not cap, but cash spent, the Titans spent just shy of $222 million a year. This year so far, since they released Bud Dupree, they're at about $132 million. So that's about $100 million, just shy of $100 million difference. I'm not pocket watching, to use Ladarius's term, our on-site engineer Ladarius's term. I'm not pocket watching Amy Adams Strunk or the Adams family, but that's a pretty big difference of year over year. Now, you're going to have to, and that is with Jeffrey Simmons on the fifth-year deal at $10 million, and that's without accounting for Taylor Lewan and Robert Woods and all of those salaries that the Titans just dumped. So they're going to have to make up for those, because you need bodies on the offensive line. You have to field a team. But that's a pretty massive difference. Now, has that changed? Has the amount of cash, like liquidity, that Amy Adams-Strunk can put forth for this team, has that gone down because of the amount of money that she's going to have to put up for the stadium? Maybe so. But I just go back to that Athletic article that Jeffrey Simmons sat down with The Athletic and said, they don't know how they're going to be able to pay me. Now, that was last general manager. This was pre-John Robinson firing, pre-Rand Carthon hiring. But if those are the negotiations, if that's how the Titans are moving forward with negotiating, and they're saying, oh, we don't know how we're going to be able to give you the money, but they actually do have the money to spend, seems like strange negotiations to me. Or that really is the kind of the position that the Titans are in, that they just don't have the money to spend. And I don't know how you're going to be able to compete in this AFC if you don't have the money to spend.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the biggest or the most, where would you put the fact that we walk into training camp in August and everything's fine, and we've just, all this worry has been for nothing, and that they have a quarterback that's probably wearing number 17 and his last name is Tannehill, and he's drinking whatever energy drink that is.
Celsius,
that one. And Derrick Henry's a running back.
This year. I'm kidding.
Yeah, it could be. Derrick Henry's a running back. Jeffrey Simmons is on a new deal. They've had a nice draft. You know, they brought in some good free agents. And we just walk in and go, okay, it was all for naught. You know, we just worried. I'd put it at a 5.
I don't know.
50-50.
It's hard. I do think that Ryan Tannehill, will be the quarterback next year. I would be very surprised if the Titans did decide to trade Derrick Henry
Me too.
Next year, that's a totally different story. I think the team would go in a different direction. But if you're running it back with Tannehill, I wouldn't be surprised if they also ran it back with Derrick Henry. And with Jeffrey Simmons, I don't know how he can go into training camp without a new deal, honestly.
Oh, he's not.
Like, Jeffrey Simmons can't hold out.
Right, but he did it the right way last year. Like, he kind of did he held in last year,
right,
but he made it known he was ready. He wanted a new deal. If he doesn't have it by training camp this year, he's not showing up.
Well, then he'll get fined $40,000 a day.
I'm telling you, he won't show up. I mean, if he's deleting his social media and he took the Titans and everything off of that and unfollowed them before that, I don't see him showing up to training camp, even if it is going to cost him.
But that's the only leverage he has. Because if he decides to sit out of all of training camp, That's $40,000 a day. Now, the Titans had 33 training camp days last year. So if we say there's 33 again this year or around that ballpark, that's $1.32 million that Jeffrey Simmons would pay in not showing up to training camp.
But how many times have you seen that happen with a player and then they get the deal done and the team forgives it?
A lot.
You know, and he knows that.
Yeah.
Like, and his agent is telling him that of like, yeah, we'll get that worked out.
I do think if Jeffrey Simmons gets the deal worked out, let's say five training camp days in, and he quote unquote held out, then they will forgive that.
It's all an empty threat.
But that is assuming that they're going to get a deal worked out, and I think that they will. And I don't think that it'll get to the point where it's just a standoff between the Titans and Jeffrey Simmons and whoever bends or breaks first essentially loses the negotiations. But if the Titans really are that strapped for cash, which I don't know if they are or they're not, but if they are that strapped for cash and they're saying, Jeffrey, you know, we're going to sign you to the fifth year to a fifth year deal and you're going to make $10.753 million next year. That's the best that we can do. And Jeffrey Simmons says, no. And the Titans say, well, we're not trading you. And he says, well, I'm holding out.
Yeah,
okay, then we'll collect your $1.32 million.
Yeah, well, it'll continue to be a you-know-what contest.
It will be a staring contest. That's what it'll be. 615-737.
I was going to use a different adjective, but we'll go with that.
I just decided to use a different verb there. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. I think that a deal is going to get done. I think that a deal is going to get done because, honestly, I don't know how much leverage Jeffrey Simmons has. I think a deal is going to get done because Jeffrey Simmons wants to be here. The Titans want Jeffrey Simmons here. And I also think that there's another element to all of the Jeffrey Simmons contract negotiations that have to come into play as well. And we'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, Chase McCabe in here. 1025, 1063, the game.
Man, I gotta ask, you know, is it your preference to be here? I mean, this is all in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm here. When I first got drafted here, you know, they believed in me. You know, coming and picking me up injured, you know, so I was just happy to be here. I'm happy to, like, Tennessee is home for me, and the people here, the fans here, like the community here. Just when I'm out, you know, going out to dinner, you know, it's great. The people here is very nice. So like just being here in Tennessee, this is why I want to play the rest of my career, and hopefully that happens. So.
There you go. That was Jeffrey Simmons at the end of last season. He wants to be a Titan. The Titans want him to be a Titan. They're undergoing negotiations. Of course, it was reported or pointed out or observed, whatever word you want to use, by Tyron Davenport yesterday that he scrubbed his Instagram of all of his Titans pictures, unfollowed the Titans on Instagram. He then deleted his Instagram, deleted his Twitter account. And TD said, hey, he could just be completely unplugging, you know, getting all of the outside noise away from him as he decides to negotiate this contract. And it could be a message that Jeffrey Simmons is disgruntled about negotiation with the Titans. It could mean several different things. But I think the Titans are going to re-sign Jeffrey Simmons for several reasons. One, they want him to be here. Two, if they want him here, they can have him here.
Yep.
Because he doesn't have a whole lot of leverage as long as he is under contract with the Tennessee Titans. And for now, he is under contract with the Tennessee Titans. It really is, you know, in favor of the Titans, considering the new CBA. You get fined $40,000. Any player on a rookie contract gets fined $40,000 for every day of training camp that they miss. So holding out really isn't an option anymore. But I think there's two other reasons why I think the Titans are going to get this deal done. One, I don't know if the Titans can really afford to continue this perception across the league that I think exists of the Titans don't want to pay big money to their best players. I don't think that they did themselves any favors last year. A.J. Brown wanted to get paid. The Titans traded him away. And I think it goes back even further than that with Jack Conklin, so on and so forth. So I don't think that they want that perception.
I can tell who you've been doing a show with every day for the past few months.
D-Mace feels the same way, but it's true.
Well, he's 100% right.
Whether it is true or not, the Titans don't want to pay big money to big players. That's the perception. And A.J. Brown going on the podcast, whatever that was, a couple of weeks ago and saying that, you know, he wanted X amount of money, the Titans didn't want to pay him. I don't think that does the Titans any favors in terms of their outside perception. And two, if you don't re-sign Jeffrey Simmons, you're doing the one thing that Mike Vrabel has made it very known that they do not want to do, and that is rebuild.
Yep.
I view whatever the Titans do, as long as Jeffrey Simmons is on this team, you're not rebuilding. You at least have a core member. You have a veteran player to build around. You trade away Jeffrey Simmons, that's a rebuild.
I agree. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's 100% a rebuild. And, you know, they do that, then go ahead and get rid of Henry and get rid of Tannehill and just hit the rebuild button, reset button, and start all over. But I don't think they're going to do that because the head coach didn't sign up for that, and he's not going to sign up for that. I mean, you look at, like, it's just coming out, the Jags have put the franchise tag on Evan Ingram. Okay, so, you know, they're going to continue to get better. They're getting Calvin Ridley back. Mm-hmm. You got to stay on pace with them. Yes, you can maybe take a step or two back this year if you want to find your quarterback of the future in this draft, and then go right ahead. I think next year is probably going to be better because you still got to build an offensive line and you got to get weapons, and you can accomplish some of that in this draft. But, you know, if they take a couple steps back, then just stay within striking distance. But going full on rebuild, I just think that's a terrible, terrible move to do that.
The only benefit that I would see is you are now in position to draft a quarterback in the 2024 draft. But again, that's still no guarantee that your quarterback of the future, your guy, is going to be in that draft. At least the Titans are in a good position now where they get to pick. Like, I don't want to be the Indianapolis Colts right now. I don't want to be the Carolina Panthers right now, where it's either you draft a quarterback in this year's draft or you head to Jimmy Garoppolo land. Yeah. And you are just continuing to get on this quarterback cycle every single year where you are, you know, short-term deal here, short-term deal there, where the Colts have been on over the past couple of years. I don't think the Titans have any interest in that. Mike Vrabel has made it so known, so obviously clear. The man that makes nothing clear has made it very clear that this team is not rebuilding.
Yeah.
So as long as you have Jeffrey Simmons, you're not rebuilding. They're going to re-sign Jeffrey Simmons. Just on whose terms is it going to be? That's the question.
By the way, I got to give a hat tip to BetMGM's Twitter account because They just tweeted out, Derrick Henry is the second best quarterback available on the trade market.
Touche.
Which is good. I have a video.
Touche.
You know, and here's the thing. Like, I'll push back on you a little bit when you say that he can't hold out. I don't think any of the fines matter. I think they're empty threats. I think that most teams, they know at the end of the day they can do it and they can hold him to it, but it's all part of the gamesmanship, and he can miss 5 days of camp and maybe they fine him for one and once they get a deal done. And I don't see it going that long. I mean, think about Taylor Lewan, Landry, you know, a few others that – where Landry was done before that. I'm trying to think of guys that, you know, held out for a few days. It doesn't last very long. Like, that's usually the end of the road, and they get it done quick because nobody wants to cost anybody money or time. And so they figure out a way to get it done. I believe Jeffrey Simmons will be signed by either the start of training camp or early in training camp, and this will all be behind us. It just, what will his offense look like at that point? That's going to be the question.
That all revolves around the quarterback position. That revolves around Derrick Henry. But to your point about them being empty threats, I think they're only as empty as you allow them to be, because it depends on how the negotiations go. I don't see the negotiations between Jeffrey Simmons and the Titans getting heated. I don't see it getting to the point where they're in a standoff and the Titans have to flex that muscle and have to flex that leverage that they do have of finding Jeffrey Simmons. I don't think anybody wants to get to that point. I think there's mutual respect on both sides. But if it does get to a point, I don't know how much money the Titans have available. I really don't. I don't know how much the Titans want to sign Jeffrey Simmons to a long-term deal when they have that fifth-year option available. I don't know. But if they do want to exercise that leverage, they can. Do I think they want to? Probably not. I don't think they're at that point either. You know, we've got a few months until then. They've got plenty of time to work things out. But if there's any indication of Jeffrey Simmons scrubbing his Instagram and deleting his social media, maybe it could be something as innocent like TD said, like, hey, he's just unplugging. He's keeping his focus on his contract negotiations. He doesn't want anything to get out that gets misinterpreted. Totally understand that. Or that could be a message from Jeffrey Simmons that I'm unhappy and I'm disgruntled and I don't want to be associated with this team if they're not going to pay me. There are so many ways that you could interpret that. I don't think that it'll get nasty, but the Titans do have that option there if they would like to flex the muscle.
Yep, they absolutely do. I want to mention something real quick, non-Titans related.
Yeah.
The Predators have recalled Michael McCarron from Milwaukee. Good to see him back in the NHL after he's gone through, you know, the rehab program that the league and the PA do.
Absolutely.
He's been with the Admirals, so he's been recalled. And congrats to Liam Robbins from Vanderbilt and Santiago Vescovi for being named All-SEC first team as voted on by the coaches, and to Coach Jerry Stackhouse, co-coach of the year in the SEC, along with Buzz Williams from Texas A&M.
All right.
So they put those honors out there, which I think is very cool. Also should be noted, Brandon Miller is both player of the year and freshman of the year. So
I know that does not come without some controversy.
That's on the court.
On the court, he absolutely does deserve it. Brandon Miller is a dog.
Yep.
Comes with controversy, absolutely rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get your thoughts on it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. There's one text that texts in, one texter texts in, and it kind of bugs me a little bit because one texter says, I really don't think that there are a lot of fans out there that feel bad for football players who bitch and moan about there being millions of dollars that they make. Either fulfill your contract and make your money or not. I think fans have to understand that there is such a small window of your life, of your career,
yeah,
that can be dedicated to the NFL. They work their butts off. Jeffrey Simmons has worked his butt off. Every other player campaigning for a big contract has worked their butt off to get to where they are. I don't blame a single player, Jeffrey Simmons included, for trying to, you know, juice out every single drop of their NFL career that they can, financially speaking. I don't blame Jeffrey Simmons for looking at his production and looking at the rest of the league and saying, I'm grossly underpaid. I want to be up there with Aaron Donald and DeForest Buckner and Chris Jones because I play like it. Because I only get to do this for a few years. And that's the reality. NFL, not for long. I only get to do this for a certain minute period of time. And I get the opportunity to set up my family for success, for generational wealth. So I'm going to do it. So all of this conversation about Jeffrey Simmons' contract, I just want it to be known. I don't blame him for a single second for trying to get that big contract.
Yeah, I don't either. Get the money, man.
Get your money. Get paid. That is going to do it for us today. Stillman & Company is up next. We're back tomorrow at 11. We out.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.